Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey friends, welcome to Mesmerized. I am so glad you are here. This is week two of Sappy Cynthia, where I talk a little bit about all of the graduations going on. And yes, our daughter Kate graduated from the University of Texas last weekend. We had so much fun, so many things I could tell you. We enjoyed all of the different parties and dinners and grandparents being there and two graduations, a smaller one for just her school of journalism, and then a huge one for the entire graduating class in the stadium. And they had drones and fireworks and all the things. But I will say that I think maybe the most meaningful moment for me was Sunday morning, which was Mother's Day. We had finished all the graduations and we all went to her church together. And I've said this before, but it gets me every time to sit in that room full of kids worshiping and watching them just pour out and praise the Lord, singing and worshiping, especially in a school that really it's not cool. It's not popular to be a part of a Christian culture there. And I'm not trying to knock on that school, but just generally speaking, doesn't have a huge Christian presence, but there are pockets of deep, deep faith. And to sit in that room, and there I was, it's Mother's Day. Here's Sappy Cynthia coming in, everyone. It's Mother's Day, and there's my entire family sitting there and worshiping and singing. And I just couldn't help but have this moment of thinking, like, of all the things I could have ever wanted to be able to say or to see or experience with one of my kids when they got out of college, to be able to see them worshiping and love the Lord and have a faith of their own, like I couldn't ask for anything more. And I just sat there and watched my family worshiping. And I was like, gosh, man, her life, first kid. And you know, we're hard on those first kids, but I obsessed over all the things. Was she on the right teams? Did she have the right friend groups? Did she get invited to the dances, the dates, her grades, her college resume, all the things that I focused on. But what I really wanted the most is I want her to know and love the Lord as her own. And I had that moment of being like, wow, thank you, Lord, that she went to college and she has a deep faith and that she loves you and she wants us to be at church with her. And that I got to sit on Mother's Day and worship the Lord with my family. And just, it was so incredible. And I want to say and be sensitive to the fact that I know that's not everyone's experience. And that may not be my experience for the next two boys. I don't know what that'll look like. But at the end of the day, like, we don't have ultimate control. Like, they're free-willed beings and they're going to do the things they're going to do. But when we have those glimpses of the Lord's goodness over our kids, like, let's celebrate it. So that was like a celebration moment for me that was really awesome. So we had a really great weekend. And so as I'm taping this, it is Tuesday and Brett graduates this Friday. So we're getting ready to do it again, round two of graduations. So there you go. You guys, today is week two of Libin Abraham. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Libin, he is the pastor of my church here in Dallas, Adventure Bible. And if you missed last week, go back and listen. But he is just very practically speaking into how the Holy Spirit impacts our life. And I have loved this discussion. And today we're going to talk specifically about spiritual gifts. Do you know yours, guys? If you don't, take an inventory. But knowing your spiritual gifts, and we're also going to talk about knowing what the Holy Spirit sounds like in our lives. Like, how do we know if we're hearing from Him, the Holy Spirit, or if we're just hearing ourselves speak? Haven't we all wondered, like, are those my thoughts? Are those God thoughts? And so Libin has really practical ways to look at that. So we are going to talk today more Holy Spirit. This is week two. I'm so glad you're with us. I would love for you to share this series, these two podcasts with friends, with your small groups. That would be such a gift to me. But for now, here we go, kicking it off with Libin Abraham.
You mentioned spiritual gifts, and hopefully a lot of us, most of us know a lot about spiritual gifts, or at least something, or we at least know our spiritual gifts, and there's lots of them, lots of different spiritual gifts. When I was thinking out that, I was thinking about mine, and in fact, my whole family, we have gone back and taken spiritual gift assessments because we were like, do they stay the same? Do they change? So, I mean, that's one question I would have for you. I would have never said I have the spiritual gift of teaching, but maybe that was incorrect. I would always say, leadership, or I'm very hospitable. I love having people in our house. Like, there's a lot of different things, but so that's a question. One, do they change? Two, if someone's like, I'm not sure what my spiritual gifts are, what is your go-to? Like, do you have a certain thing that you point people to like, you know, a favorite quiz or whatever, or just any of the online surveys? Give us a little practical help on that.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned this in my message of like, I grew up in a very like church tradition that valued the gifts of the Spirit and more charismatic. And then, my undergrad was in Church of God school. Then I went to Fuller Seminary, which is very interdenominational. My last church was Southern Baptist. My PhD work was at Southwestern Baptist. And so I've been on every side of the conversation when it comes to the spiritual gifts. I've seen it abused, and that has caused a lot of hurt and wound when spiritual gifts are abused. And I've seen it neglected, you know, and just completely forgotten about. And so I was like, I really want people within our church and really just the church in general to neither abuse or neglect the gifts of the Spirit, because they have been given to us for a purpose. And it was like the early church could not do anything they did worthwhile if the gifts of the Spirit was not active and empowering their life. If you're so brand new to the conversation on spiritual gifts, here's some scriptural references I'd give you of where you could find the spiritual gifts. So like 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it, Romans 12 talks about it, and Ephesians 4 talks about it. So you can just start there and just reading those chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So that just kind of gives you an overview of what those gifts are. I think there are some, Cynthia, do they stay or do they change? I think there are some gifts that are residential, and there are some gifts that are circumstantial. And so residential gifts mean they stay with you. Like, if you have the gift of hospitality or administration, like, that is, like, kind of wedded into your personality. Like, you're always going to be a hospitable person. Like, today, 10 years from now, like, you can't help but be hospitable. If you have the gift of generosity, like, you are just a generous person. Wherever you go, whatever continent you're on, at work, at home, like, generosity just, like, bleeds through you. That's who you are. So that's a gift that I would say is resident in you. But then I think there are like circumstantial gifts where you find yourself in a certain moment in that place and you receive a gift of the Spirit that is most needed in that context. So it may be, maybe you just need the gift of wisdom or knowledge, like in that specific moment, and God gives you that Spirit. And I've talked about, like, I've seen in other countries and some in Houston as well, like people receive the gift of tongues, as in it's a different language that was unknown to them, but God gave them that gift to be able to preach the gospel to somebody else in their native tongue, right? They didn't have it before. They never had it later. It was just in that moment, God gave them a supernatural language to be able to proclaim the gospel to somebody in their native language. I think healing often works in this certain way. I don't know that there's like just healers who can go anywhere and heal everybody. No one's done that. You know, like, you can't help but heal. But I think healing is one of those things where God gives the gift of healing in that moment, in that circumstance. He gives you that gift of healing. So I think I would say there are some gifts that are like resident to you. It's part of who you're always going to be. And there are some moments where, in certain circumstances, those gifts are what you most need. So if I was pastoring in a different country in a very different cultural context, I think I would have other gifts than I do now. You know, so like, and so I think it really is, it's dependent on your mission and your assignment. It's the Holy Spirit's gifts. Like, when I grew up, one of the misconceptions I had was, okay, the gifts of the Spirit are sort of my markers of spiritual maturity. And that is wrong. Right? The gifts of the Spirit don't mark how spiritually mature you are. The fruit of the Spirit does that. That gives evidence to your spiritual maturity, not the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are always for how you're going to serve other people. It's always for ministry. And so if your context of ministry is different, then your gifts may be different. And so even in the New Testament, like, the very purpose of the Holy Spirit being given and the gifts being poured out is for the mission of God. And so if your mission looks different as a teacher in North Dallas versus a church planter in rural North India or Africa, like, you're going to have different set of gifts for the mission that God has called you to. So that's how I would really think about what are the gifts that I need most right now in this season of assignment and mission that God has invited me to.
Okay. Is it a use it or lose it kind of thing? Is that how it works? Like that if I have the gift of teaching, but I refuse to go and teach, that's going to be taken away from me, or not necessarily? Is there biblical truth of that?
Yeah, I don't see that in the scripture. I mean, like, you know, there is a passage in Romans that talks about how the gift of the Holy Spirit is irrevocable, but I think that's talking about the person of the Spirit, not necessarily the gift of the Spirit that is revocable. But I think it comes to stewardship, like the parable of the talents, where God gives these talents, and you don't want to bury your gifts. Like, God has given you that gift. So if you have the gift of teaching, if you have the gift of service, whatever it may be, like, you're going to be, in a sense, like, lovingly called account to how you use the gifts God gave you. Those are the talents that He has deposited in you to be able to bear fruit. Like, God has given you gifts to steward. And it's not a guilt or shame thing as much as it is, like, you have the opportunity to have a great impact in the world because of the gifts that God has given you. So I would encourage people, what are the gifts? And am I living up my gifts? And look for places and opportunity, because if you have those gifts, that means God is probably setting the environment around you to where you can operate in those gifts to be used by Him.
Yeah. I always think about the passage where it talks about, you know, the burden is light and the yoke is easy, and how so many seasons that I feel like I can look back, even in ministry, not even like back when I was a lawyer or whatever, in ministry, that were so hard. And I realized those were seasons where it was Cynthia trying to do it, like me trying to do it, and how, like, using the gifts, if you're working within your giftings, gosh, like, it's so much easier. It's a game changer. And I say this sometimes to my kids, like, I was not a particularly great lawyer. That's not me being humble. I mean, I think the partners at our law firm thought I was fine, but, like, it was really hard for me. And my husband's an amazing lawyer, and it's not hard for him. I mean, he works hard, but it's not. And I think I was outside of my giftings, right? And then when I do things that are within my giftings, especially the giftings, like, where the Holy Spirit is, right? Like, it's just somehow the yoke is easier. It's just the burden is lighter. And so I think that's been one of the things for me too, when I've been trying to assess my spiritual gifts. If I'm trying to be work within a gift that's not my gift, it's really hard. If hospitality is not your thing, then you probably aren't enjoying the 50 people at your house all the time. But you know, if teaching is, then you're able to draw out the wisdom of Scripture and communicate it in such a way. And so that's been helpful for me as I'm thinking through gifts. You told a story. I think you've told a couple, but just give us a quick example of someone who's used their spiritual gift in such a way that's impacted you. And I think that's important to remember. I think yours was related to switching to a different church. But I think it's important for us to realize that when we don't use our giftings, that people can miss out. But when we do use them well, that it impacts people, even other believers, so well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I kind of, like you were talking about, you know, using the right gifts, sort of like tools. Like, you don't want to show up to a big if you're construction, like, you don't want to just show up to a big renovation job just having a hammer. It's going to take a lot. Yeah. You want all the tools available, right? So God has given you all of these tools to use for His big mission. Yeah, I have just so personally been blessed by people living in their gifts, and whether it was just encouragement or comfort or prophecy. Like I talked about when Stacey and I, we were pregnant with our last kid. Like, we hadn't told anybody that we were even wanting a third child or trying for it. And we weren't even sure if we were, like, should we? I say, like, you know, Venture was always a third baby. So I don't know if we had another internet anymore. But, like, the week we found out, one of our good friends that was in a life group with us, she came up to us and said, hey, are y'all pregnant? Because I had a vision. I had a dream last night that you were pregnant. I was like, what in the world? Like, there's no way. We just found out, like, yesterday. How in the world did you know? And then people would text us from the church, just, like, encouraging verses, like, as if they knew that we were expecting, like, so specific. I'm like, okay, I thought first my wife wasn't keeping a secret. Then I was like, okay, the Holy Spirit is obviously not keeping this a secret, because He's, like, you know, prompting people to encourage us. But we needed the confirmation and the encouragement that God was doing something beautiful in our life, and this was of Him, you know? And so that's one way. Like, yeah, when I was in Houston, we were praying about coming to Bentry. This mentor of mine from India, he just said, hey, I just had this kind of vision. Like, I'm not sure if, you know, makes sense or not, but you're kind of between two doors that one's really familiar and the other one's completely unfamiliar. And you're kind of trying to debate which one you're supposed to take. And at that time, like, we were debating between stepping into the lead pastor role at the church I had been at for 9 years in Houston or coming to Bentry and being lead pastor here. And so it was exactly, you know, one's really familiar. We knew that place. Like, we had built a reputation, had experiences there, 9 years of invested ministry leadership. And Bentry was so foreign to us, so new. And that was exactly the question we were pondering. And then he had a vision that said, you're between two doors. And, like, one's really familiar, one's not. And he just said, the Lord's kind of, I feel the Lord leading you into the unfamiliar door. That requires more faith and sacrifice, and that's where he's leading you. That was such an encouragement to me to say that God spoke to somebody who had no idea of the context we were in and gave them a word of wisdom or knowledge to be able to help bring encouragement in the way we are going. So even the way that the New Testament describes prophecy, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy is described as three things. It's encouragement, consolation, and comfort. It's not like the super weird calling out your deepest, darkest sins. Now, sometimes God will convict you through other people, but that's to encourage you towards righteousness in terms of your behavior. But usually prophecy is to encourage you, to comfort you, or to strengthen you. I think those are the three things: comfort, encouragement, and strengthening. And so, like, you know, and sometimes that could be just as simple as what you said, just sharing a scripture with somebody. It's going to encourage. And so much of New Testament prophecy is declaring the truths of God, proclaiming the truths of God. And to do it in a loving and humble way, that can encourage somebody. Yeah. So don't be afraid of the gifts of prophecy or even tongues, whether it's a private prayer language or something else, you know. Just let the Lord invite you into all the gifts that he has. And you don't have to, like, compare your gifts to others. No, just know that God is a good father. Gifts are not earned. They're given. They're gifts that God gives. And so, like, he, as he wills, distributes gifts to his children based on what you most need. It may not be the gift you want, but it'll be the gift you need. And I've had people who said, man, like, I have this gift, but it comes with a burden because it means I care for people at such an intimate level. And it can be heavy, you know, or I have to give this word of, you know, encouragement to somebody. And it comes with a weight. But God gives you the gifts you most need in that moment.
Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When back to foster care for a second, Mike and I were waiting. That was the night before the really big hearing, and this kind of leads into the last thing I wanted to talk about. But it was the night before a really big hearing, and we were pretty sure, we had been told by CPS that the little guy we'd had almost 2 years was going to go home and to his bio family, and we were devastated. We just knew that. We just couldn't understand how that was God's best for him. But CPS had warned us, and the judge was going to do this. And so it was the night before, and we'd had him 2 years, and he felt, you know, he's part of our family. And I just will never forget, we're standing around our Christmas tree with our dearest friends that you know, the Rogers, and their pastor at this old church they used to go to, a pastor from South Dallas. We have no interaction, whatever, other they just went to a small church for a short time, and they prayed over us every week when we were doing foster care. Well, he knew our big hearing was coming up, and he asked if he could come to our house and pray for us the night before. And so it's Christmas time, Libin. You know how crazy it is for a pastor at Christmas time. This guy drives across town, and it's late at night because we had been at a choir concert, and he sits in front of our house praying, and we're all inside. And it's kind of weird. And we're like, well, is he going to come in or whatever? And finally he comes in, and we're standing there. I'm holding this baby. And I mean, you know, just trying to kind of choke back the tears, because I know this is probably the last time he spends a night in our house. And this pastor, Pastor Pierre, he's like, you know, I stayed out in front of your house. I got there before you got home, and I've been praying. And he's like, I just know that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I know that I am to tell y'all, we don't need to pray over this hearing, that this is already done. The Lord created this baby for you. He's yours. And I had this pause in my spirit of somewhere between like, holy cow, that is unbelievable faith to be able to speak that. And also like, man, I hope you didn't just make the biggest doctrinal snafu ever, because everyone, our kids are here. Everyone is. And so the next day the court calls and, you know, the CPS or the court rules, the CPS worker calls us and says, you're not going to believe what happened, against all odds. And we were like, yeah, we're going to believe what happened because the Lord spoke it last night. And I tell this story sometimes when I'm speaking, because I'm so in awe of a man that not only takes the time out of a schedule to go pray over people that he's never met. I mean, that just stop right there. That's enough. But that he was so familiar with the voice of the Spirit that he had the confidence to be able to speak a truth over us. And that doesn't come by just kind of being willy-nilly. That comes from a man who's hard fought for having the Spirit in his life, hearing from him and doing the things he's called to do, following what we've just been talking about, the promptings, you know, the power that you have from having the Holy Spirit, the prayer that you put in, like the things we've talked about. And so for someone much like myself, who's thought this many times, like, am I hearing from the Spirit or am I hearing from Cynthia? Because they sound similar and yet they're very different sometimes in my mind. And so I love that you practically spoke into this. Like, how do we know if we're hearing from the Spirit? What does it sound like? What does it look like?
Yeah. So Jesus said in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare what is to come. So that's an example of how the Spirit declared what was to come without you even knowing it. Yeah. And so like, so the Spirit speaks, and Jesus talked about it in John 10, about how the sheep can hear his voice. And so as the Spirit allows us to hear the voice of Jesus. Now that's interesting because, you know, sometimes we wonder, is that my voice? Is that the voice of my family? Is it the taco I just ate? Is it just my religious experience speaking? Or sometimes, you know, Satan speaks, like he's the false accuser. And so we want to know, like, how do I discern if this is God's voice, if this is the Spirit speaking or not? Yeah, so I kind of have, you know, at least four or five things that I think about. How does the Spirit speak today? First of all, he speaks through the Word of God, which I'm referring to not just the scriptures here, but I'm referring to the person of Jesus, because the Bible says he is the ultimate Word. You know, Hebrews 1 talks about how long ago God spoke to our ancestors, but in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So like God's final Word is Jesus. And Jesus said about the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit comes, this is John 16, 14, that he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So the first way that the Spirit speaks is to glorify Jesus and to remind you of everything that Jesus has said. So the Spirit will cause us to love Jesus more, trust him more, serve him, follow him more closely. And so he's going to exalt Jesus. So your first filter, if this is the Holy Spirit speaking or not, is, does it glorify Jesus or does it glorify me? Is it based out of fear? Like, or is it based out of exalting Jesus? And so the Spirit always points us to the Word of God. So you have the Word of God. And then number two, you have the words of God. And this is scripture. Like the Spirit illuminates the scripture to us. When you read the Bible, you have this beautiful privilege of reading a collection of books while speaking to its author at the exact same time. Because it's the Holy Spirit that breathed out these words through mere mortal men. The Holy Spirit inspired and wrote these words. And that's what 2 Peter 1, verse 19 and 21 talks about, how no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but instead men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's your test number two. Like, number one, does it exalt Jesus? Because the Spirit will always point to the Word of God, who is Jesus. Number two, does it align with Scripture? Like, the Spirit will never contradict what he has said to you with what he has said in the Bible, in the scriptures. And so the words of God that are recorded for us. The third is the whispers of God. And this is when the Spirit impresses thoughts and imaginations into our mind. And so this is that gentle whisper. Because the Spirit is in you, he will say something so direct, but yet so soft. And he guides your thought and imagination. Like the very purpose of audible words is to guide your thought and imagination. So if I said pink unicorn, like all of your listeners are now thinking about a pink unicorn, or they're imagining one, though they were not 30 seconds ago, because a verbalized word is directing thoughts. And so that's actually what the Spirit, he doesn't have to be audible, But within us, because he's inside of us, he can guide our thoughts and imagination through his whisper. One pastor said it like this, that God doesn't have to speak audibly to us, just as Alexander Graham Bell didn't have to write a letter to his friend after he invented the telephone. Like, there's a better way of communication, right? Because there's a more consistent, more relational way of communicating, which is you get to hear his voice. And so don't have to wait for a sign from the sky. Like, look at the ways that he is directing your thought and imagination. But again, put that to the test of, does it line up with scripture? Does it line up with Jesus? And I think those are the moments where you want to, like, you know, be attentive. And sometimes it takes quietness to be able to hear a whisper. Because the thing about whisper is, you got to be quiet. You got to listen. You got to have some moments of solitude to be able to listen to the whispers, because oftentimes the whispers are not that loud, and you want to be still before the Lord to hear your whisper. I told a story about a ministry leader in Houston. He was at his job downtown Houston one day, and he just heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit that said to him, "You need to go home right now." And he's like, but why would I? It's just like noon on a busy Wednesday. I got a lot of things to do. But he just kept hearing the whisper of the Spirit. You need to go home. You need to go home. So he dropped everything, pulled up to his driveway at his house, like 40 minutes away. He came home, felt drawn to go through the backyard. And there in his backyard, in his pool, his neighbor's kid had just fallen in and no one else was in sight. So like the Spirit whispered and it saved somebody's life. And so there's all kinds of stories I know, like from kidney transplants, all kinds of stuff where like people heard the voice of the Spirit that caused them to do something that was in service of others. It caused them to give. It caused them to have faith. It caused them to serve because it aligned with God's word and aligned with the way of Jesus. So listen to the whispers of the Spirit. Then there are the wonders of God. So you got God's word, who's Jesus, God's words, scripture. You have the whispers of God. Then you have the wonders of God. And this is how the Spirit speaks through creation, visions, dreams, prophecy. It's the more extraordinary moments of how the Spirit speaks. Like Psalm 19 talks about how this, even though the created world doesn't have words, it's often communicating powerful truths to us about the glory of God. And so the wonders of God speak, whether it be prophecy or you have a vision or dream. Some people kind of cut out like dream. I said, "Man, you're asleep a third of your life. Don't you think God wants to speak during the one third of your life that you're asleep?" You know, and when the Spirit comes in on the disciples in Acts 2, Peter gets up and says, "Hey, this is what's been prophesied by Joel," and he starts to quote the prophecy. "I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Then your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And so this, one of the evidences of the Spirit's activity are dreams that he gives us. So the word of God, the words of God, the whispers of God, the wonders of God. The last thing, it kind of connects to the passions idea, but you have the wishes of God. And the Spirit now compels you with his desires. And so like you feel like this is not a natural desire for me. It is, I am compelled by this inner desire. It may not make sense to me, but the Spirit is compelling me. I think this is how often in Acts 20, like, you know, or in many places in Acts, the disciples were feeling the compelling of the Spirit. And so like, you know, you have Paul who felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, though he knew that he was going to be arrested there, but he had this desire to go. And so just there's moments where you feel this inner desire. You might have not heard a whisper. You didn't hear it audibly. Like you didn't hear a prophecy, but there's this desire you cannot shake off. And so I think that those are some ways that the Spirit speaks. Through the word, who is Jesus. And so it's always going to glorify him through the words of God. If the Spirit speaks, it'll always be in alignment with scripture. And he whispers, and we've got to be quiet to hear the whisper of the Spirit and then the wonders and the wishes of God.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you something. I'm just like, in full disclosure, I was like, obviously I've been aware of the Holy Spirit a long time. But like when you finished preaching on this, like I was fired up. I'm like, why am I not utilizing, why I have the Holy Spirit? Why am I not like relying on him, calling out the Holy Spirit, like just being empowered and spoken to through the Holy Spirit. And it just kind of reignited an excitement and a fire in me to want to do this better. And so here's a question, I guess my last one as we wrap up, because you've already given us so much time, which I'm so thankful for. But for someone who's maybe like me, that's like, I've been a Christian a long time, and I don't know that I've ever really thought that much or that hard or that long of the Holy Spirit, but I want more of the Holy Spirit in me. Like, what's the next best step? I mean, do we just go and pray and just say, like, give me more, Lord? I mean, what does that look like in our life if we really want to start making him real?
Yeah, I think I would say, like, do you actually believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you? Like, yeah. you have to believe that the Spirit is today, right now, he wants to say something. And so that inner conviction of, you know, I am a person who has a spirit and he wants to speak. Like, you are no less qualified or special than anybody else that the Spirit speaks to. And so to say, like, I can hear the Spirit today and he's always speaking. He wants to say something. There's something he wants to reveal. So I think, like, you got to want it and you got to believe that he can speak to you. Because the lie of the enemy is, no, he won't speak to you. That's for other people. And I would say, like, if you have given your life to Jesus, you've at least heard the Holy Spirit at least once, right? You've said yes to the prompting to follow Jesus. So you know you can hear him. And so you can hear the Spirit, and he wants to speak. But I think what often gets in the way of us listening to the Spirit is the busyness, the noise all around us. And there are so many voices that we would rather listen to. And so if he speaks, are we willing to prioritize his voice above every other voice? And sometimes it's, are we willing to get quiet enough? And so that might be, yeah, opening up the scriptures, like, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? I don't just want to read this, like, intellectually. I want to read it imaginatively, and I want to hear your voice through this. And I want to find myself in the story. And that creates some space and time, some empty space to be able to, like, listen to the voice of the Spirit. And sometimes it's just that availability. Like, we want to be available and aware of the Spirit. And so I would say, if you want to start, like, this journey with the Spirit, are you available and will you live aware of his Spirit? I love how, you know, when Samuel wakes up, like, he missed the voice of God like three times, and the fourth time in 1 Samuel 3, he just heard the voice of God and his response was, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I mean, to live that posture every day, Holy Spirit, speak today. Your servant is listening. And if it causes me to do something uncomfortable or sometimes illogical, like, I'm listening. My starting posture of the day is, speak, for your servant, your bride, like, we are listening to you right now. And so I think when you come at it with that posture and we're willing to listen and be quiet enough to hear him, and kind of turn down any other noise, whatever that might be, and then I think you hear him. And it may not be this, you know, mind-blowing thing. It could be just a gentle whisper, but you will have the courage to step into that by the power of the Spirit who speaks to you.
Amen and amen. Live in Abraham. First of all, everybody, y'all, if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you don't have a church home, like, come to Bent Tree Bible. I'm there. Livin's there. The Holy Spirit is there. So, most importantly, the Lord is there. So, I would love to invite you guys. And if you already have a church home you love or you don't live in this area, you can go to Bent Tree Bible to the website. And they also have a podcast. You can listen to sermons. You can read the transcripts. There's all kinds of great resources there. And so, Livin, thank you so, so much.
Such an honor, Cynthia. I will do this any day for you. So grateful for you. Thanks for being an awesome leader and a witness of Jesus.
Oh, thank you. All right. A big thank you to Livin for spending this time with us. 2 weeks of incredible information, practical information about the Holy Spirit. I'm just so grateful for that. And more fun shows coming your way in the next several weeks. For now, I'm going to be sappy and graduate another kid. And assuming I'm not, like, in fetal position under the bed, then next week we'll have another great show for you guys. So thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You guys, you are the very best.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.